December 6th, Sharmani Nidhi, Chavadharma.
This I offer my unlimited obeisances in regards to the Lord of Speed and my most personable distributed deity. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotara Satshi Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudeva. Om Vishnupad Astotara Satshi Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. Several years ago, on one of Srila Gurudev's Harikatha festivals in Holland, one of his regular book distributors, who would be going out every day, complained to Gurudev. He was having lawn darshans every day. So she complained that our regional distributor only will give us Jivadharmas. But Jivadharmas are too hard for the people to understand. So Gurudev said, so explain it. He wasn't interested in her trying to stop the people from getting Jivadharma. I think some of you may be familiar with my airport discussion with Gurudev in Fiji. I told him that some devotees say that your books might as well be in Chinese because no ordinary person can understand them. There's so many terms, so much exalted concepts, so they should just be for devotees. So Gurudev said, no, all for all. All my books for all people. So I said, but the people can't understand it. He said, never mind. All for all. If the books get into their hands, my duty is done. Because, as he said another time, they'll put it in their Elmira, and at the right time, the right person will come and read it. Because Gurudev is, he said, I'm the only successor of our Prabhupada. He said, he is Bhaktivedanta, I am Bhaktivedanta. I am his only successor. So just like Prabhupada said that the books are time bombs, so Gurudev said the same thing. So we're studying Jivadharma so that we can help people understand it. Gurudev said that he read it 40 times. Has anybody here read this before? I haven't. This, all these chapters, I haven't even, my first time. Anybody? You read before? Huh?
I haven't read.
Anybody? Yeah, I haven't, so at least once. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is Kamal Manjari, and a manifestation of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who is a manifestation of Radharani, took the time to manifest it in his trance. So it's important for us. And it doesn't matter if there are 50 people in the class, or 7 or 8 people, because we'll get the same thing out of it for sharing with others and for our own strength. You heard the 64 limbs of bhakti, and now Vijay Kumar. Speaking of Vijay, I'm humbly and formally requesting this Vijay to be the leader of the Harinam party on Ekadasi. If you're going to Bunki Bihari, is that where? Only if you go. Otherwise, they're going to sit out here and do bhajans and distribute books. right out here. But if you agree to be the leader, then they'll go into the busy part of town. Sorry to put you on the spot. But that's what Vasanti told me. Does that look like a good proposition? Okay. And sometimes you can put Saraswati on the mic. She sings so beautifully. Okay. So now Vijay Kumar is asking for specific expansion of these different 64. So he's asking, how can unauthorized Hari Bhakti be the cause of disaster? And Babaji replies, that means any bhakti, even if it's the attempt is to be one-pointed, if it doesn't follow Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatriki, Vidim, Vidu, if it doesn't follow the authorized shastras as coming through the lotus mouth of Guru, then it can create a disaster. So he's replying that single-pointed and undivided consciousness in Shuddha Bhakti is only obtained by depending on the path given by the previous acharyas. One cannot attain, even if he says, I'm just concentrated on Krishna, one cannot actually attain single-pointed bhakti if he creates another path. Maha Jaina Jana Gata Supanta. One must follow the path that has been chalked out by the previous Mahajans. That's why Dattatreya, Buddha, and other teachers were not able to understand Shuddha Bhakti because they had their own. They had the shadow of the mood of bhakti. And they propagated very insignificant paths of that were sort of like Mayavadi and with a little bit of compassion. So these paths that they put forward were not actually Hari Bhakti at all. And they created confusion and spiritual disaster. Whenever Gurudev talks about Buddhism, he says, one example he says is, it's like a dog running, you know, when you think he's going to run someplace very important. So he goes to some post, touches the post, passes urine there, and then runs back. It's really important to run somewhere back. So now, in the bhajan of spontaneous devotion, which is Rag Marg, there's no regard for the rules of Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, Pancharatra, and so on. The only concern the followers of this path have is to follow, this is for those on the path of Rag Marg, they only want to follow the inhabitants of Braj. But sadhakas of Vaidhi Bhakti, see, it says they have no regard for the rules of Shruti and Smriti, those who are actually in Rag Marg. But they don't go against the scriptures. They're, for example, if you offer Sukadeva Goswami some bhoga, he won't have to offer it. If he eats it without offering it, it's not against Shastra because he's offered his whole life. So they are following the Shastra. And those who are qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti must depend on the path of bhakti that's been chalked out by Prahlad and Dhruva and Narada. That's why Vaidhi Bhaktas have no alternative but to follow the path of sadhus. Those who are in Raghunuga Bhakti, they also follow the path of sadhus, but it's specific sadhus. They also do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, but it's a specific type. They wouldn't be interested in doing kirtanam of Dwarka Leela, but rather they would do it of Braj Leela. And if they hear about Krishna's Dwarka pastimes with the queens, they would become, if they're really following the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, they would become very upset that how dare Krishna have those pastimes in Dwarka. There was a devotee that Gurudev, he lived about 150 years ago, and Gurudev talks about him in the Ratha Yatra book. Anupam Prabhu, could you come over after class? Thanks. And he was very advanced bhakta in the bhajan of Radha Dasyam. But one day, for some strange reason, he had a little desire that, I wonder what it's like to see the places in Dwarka. And just after he had that desire, a friend of his came and said, I'll give you a free ride. He was in Vrindavan. I'll give you a free ride to Dwarka and I'll take you around. So he thought, oh, very coincidental. So they went to Dwarka, and you have to get a brand, iron branding, a hot iron branding stamp that you're entering. So then he went to Dwarka and then he came back and he couldn't get his bhajan back. Try as he might. So he felt, and then all of his friends, they wouldn't come to see him. Nobody would come and see him anymore because they were thinking, well, he's not able to do his bhajan because he went to Dwarka. If I associate with him, then it's going to happen to me too. Radharani will reject me. So then after some days of trying and failing, he felt so much separation that his whole body literally burnt up in a fire of separation. And his friends, his associates, his door was locked. And finally, after 3 days, they knocked down their door and they found only ashes. This is a true story. So therefore, the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam is there, but some things are left out that are detrimental. For us, who are in Vaidhi Bhakti, it doesn't make any difference because we don't have that kind of devotion. At least I don't. Now Vijay Kumar is asking, what does it mean to give up enjoyment for Krishna's sake? What is that? Lim, what number? Six?
Yeah,
what does it say?
Reason.
No, just the statement.
To renounce sense enjoyment. Renounce sense enjoyment for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah, good, thanks. So now Babaji Maharaj is explaining. Don't eat material food. That kind of trying to enjoy the taste, this tastes good, it's a little too salty, and then just really getting into the taste of material food, it's against bhakti. So bhakti becomes very easy if we give that up. So now we only take Krishna prasadam, we take Krishna prasadam, but then there's the halfway point. It's not enjoying material food, but then it's not honoring or serving Mahaprasadam. It's trying to enjoy Mahaprasadam. So this is also opposed to bhakti. I asked Gurudev, what does it mean to serve prasadam, you know, other than pass out the plates? So he said, the prayer that we say before prasadam, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, O Mahaprasad, you are none different from Govinda, Radha Govinda, Mahaprasade Govinde. You're not different from Radha and Govinda, and their pastimes, of course, because they don't just stand against a blank wall. Nam, you're none different from Nam. And as Gurudev said about Nam, Nam can create a universe in 1 second, destroy it in the next second, and create it in the next second. Nam and Nami are one. Mahapashadi Govinde Nama Brahmani Brahmani. You're not different from all the pure Brahmanas. That means the, you know, pure devotees. Vaishnave, and you're not different from all the pure Vaishnavas. Therefore, whatever they can give me, you can give me. They can give me prema bhakti, they can give me kamanuga bhakti. That means rupanuga bhakti, which means following the path of Rupa Manjari. And whatever they can take away that's an obstacle, O Mahapashadam, you can also take away. So you can take away all my anartas. So therefore I'm praying in that way, that you give me that and you take away that. So that's serving Mahapashad. That's the beginning of serving. The advanced stage of serving Mahapashad is being like the gopis. When they take prasad, they're fully absorbed in the leelas. So that's the advanced stage of serving. Thinking how when Radharani cooked this, she's meditating on how Krishna would be tasting it, and Krishna's tasting it, thinking of the divine moods that Srimati Radhika is putting into, he's tasting the moods that she's experiencing while, you know, flattening out a chapati or putting spices or stirring. Just like everybody thinks whenever we do anything. So what she's thinking, and then the thinking goes into the food. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Raghunath Das Goswami, don't take food that's been prepared by the non-devotee, because then your mind becomes wicked because they had their consciousness. So Krishna's absorbed in Radharani's consciousness when she's cooking. And then when the gopis take their prasadam, they're tasting, Krishna's tasting of Radharani's mood. So it's very, very deep. We can think like that with our minds, but the advanced devotees, they actually realize that prasadam is Krishna's utter amrita, the nectar from Krishna's lotus lips, that's drunk by the gopis, that's drunk by the flute, and so many other things. So one should protect the body that we use in service, and one should at the same time give up all kinds of enjoyment on these days, especially Akadasi, Janmashtami. Those are the days we really enjoy. Akadasi, Janmashtami, Purnima, Nrisinga Chaturdasi, and similar days. When Gurudev was in Badger, he said that the devotees should spend the entire day fasting and reading the Prahlad, all about Prahlad Charitra in the seventh canto. Then Vijay Kumar asked, what does it mean to reside in dhams, such like Dwarka and places near the Ganga? So then Babaji Maharaj explained that faith in the Lord manifests when one is in the holy place. And there are many holy places, but in Kali Yuga, particularly, this was foretold, I think it was by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Oh, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur accepted Navadvip Dham as non-different from Vrindavan, and sometimes, in some cases, more glorious than Vrindavan. And it was predicted that 400 years after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where all other holy dhams will diminish in their power, Navadvipa will increase. It's above all other dhams of the earth. Then Vijay Kumar asks, what does it mean that you should collect just enough money to sustain your life while practicing bhakti? So Babaji Maasaya quoted one verse. A wealthy person should accept as much wealth as he requires to follow the rules and regulations that sustain his bhakti. If a wealthy person accepts more than he requires, that's the cause of his falling down. That doesn't only apply to a wealthy person, but it's easier for a wealthy person to get more than he needs. But if anybody collects more than he needs for himself, it's the cause of falling down in bhakti. Even from practically the highest level, it's the cause of falling. And one who's engaged in Vaidhi Bhakti, because this chapter is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, he shouldn't also accept less than he needs. That's also the cause of fall down. Because his mind is not fixed in Krishna. I'll give you an example of how Raghunuga Bhakti is on a different level of fixing one's mind. It's not on a level of mind. And a level of heart. About 13 years ago, or 14 years ago, yeah, when I was living in ISKCON and coming every few days to see Gurudev, I thought that whatever we heard from Gurudev was just like whatever we heard from Prabhupada. In other words, you just tell everybody as soon as you hear it. So I was telling everybody, all my friends in ISKCON, giving classes on Rasa Leela and, you know, all the things I was learning from Gurudev. And then some of my god sisters complained that you can't be indiscriminate like that. So I asked Gurudev that, how can I know who to tell what to and who not to tell what to? So Gurudev replied that the reason you're asking this question is because you have no Raghunuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti is on the platform of the mind and the intelligence. And Raghunuga Bhakti is on the platform of the heart. When you're on the platform of the heart, you know all these things. You know everything what to do. If in the middle of the summer, somebody gives you a glass of warm water mixed with salt to drink, you wouldn't have to wonder whether to drink it or not. You just go, ooh, and you just leave it. So Raghunuga Bhakti is on the platform of the heart. If one is on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, then he shouldn't take more than necessary, but he also shouldn't take less than necessary, because then I'll just be thinking, I need more, I need more. And I'm suffering in this way, and I won't be able to think of Krishna anyway. But of course, Krishna has his plan, so he may give us less than we think we require, in which case we should try to be satisfied. But it's harder for a Vaidhi Bhakti sadhak to be satisfied, because, and Vaidhi Bhakti, one identifies with his body. And the only way out of it is to do bhajan. Sing the songs in the songbook, and the songs of our acharyas and the prayers of our acharyas for entering that realm of consciousness. And chanting. While chanting, to remember the songs and the verses. And whatever we're doing, whatever Guru Seva we're doing, to do it with that aim, with that desire, because that's the real meaning of sadhana. That is performed exclusively for the purpose of attaining bhava bhakti. Now he's asking, how does one observe Hari Visar? In other words, Ekadasi. So that's pretty, also pretty strict. He says that if it's an unbroken or Shuddha Ekadasi, then it should be observed strictly. If it's mixed, which means the titi runs off to the next day and it's not really a pure Ekadasi, then it doesn't have to be followed and the Dvadasi would be followed. So one should observe celibacy on that day, stay up all night, fasting without water, the next day observe celibacy and observe padan at the right time. If one's health allows it, but one cannot imitate, like Gurudev said to me, don't do that. He said, you're like a soldier made out of a palm leaf. Slightest wind and you blow over. You're a soldier made out of a palm leaf. Yeah, imagine a soldier in an army, but he's made out of a palm leaf, so the slightest wind blows him over. So if our health allows it, then this is good to follow. Also at a lawn darshan in Holland, one of the devotees asked Gurudev, what do you do if you forget to observe it? He said, I don't know, I have never forgotten his whole life. Then he quoted one verse. From the Vayu Purana. In the evening, instead of grains, one should take other foodstuffs, such as fruits, not sesame. This is fasting through, do you know what this means, Vrindavan? Havisyana? Havisyana. A special kind of fast for some other day? What is it?
It means rice or ghee. It's very plain, it's just like you put rice and ghee.
Oh.
It's a very good way to break a fast.
And when do you do it? Oh, to break a kadasi.
Yeah, on the
bodice. Oh, I see.
That should be on the bodice.
Okay.
I think it's right there in Jaivadharma.
I know, but
I'm
saying
Havisha. Yeah, Havisha. Well, Havi and Havisha are both words for ghee.
Okay, thanks. Then he's asking, please tell us in detail about giving up the association of others who are averse to Krishna. What does this mean? So Babaji Mahasaya explains that bhakti becomes very strong and deep at Bhava Bhakti. But as long as Bhava has not arisen, it's necessary, so at that point, you can associate with anybody and transform him or at least not be affected. But until that point comes, which is very high in Bhakti, it's necessary to give up the association of those who are opposed to Bhakti. The word Sangha indicates attachment. Sangha does not mean just being near other people and holding conversations with them. It takes place when there's attachment in that proximity and conversation. So it's quite wrong to associate with those, associate means in an attached way to those who are averse. Otherwise you're going out on Nagar Sankirtan and Ekadasi, you'll be distributing books. That's not associating. That's giving the association of your Guru Parampara. After Bhava has arisen, then one never has any desire to associate with such people. And consequently, those with the adhikar of Vaidhi Bhakti should always stay away because he won't be in Bhava Bhakti. He's still identifying with the body. So he should always stay away. Otherwise, if he gets into the association, then attachment comes. The creeper of bhakti becomes dried up by bad association. And Gurudev said one should not even see the shadow of a person who's averse to Krishna. But he also shouldn't think about him, because then the qualities come. You all know the story of the Brahmin and the prostitute? I see a lot of yeses, so I won't tell it. You can. Well, just very quickly, the Brahmana left his house despite his wife's objections to do bhajan in the forest. And there was a brothel nearby in the forest. So the prostitute and her friends were going back and forth. And the devotees in England did a play, a drama, about this. And Charachandrika Didi, were you there? You know, 99, you were there? Charachandrika was the Brahmin. So she was chanting in the forest. And then you'll know when the prostitute and her friends pass by. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So this was going on for years. And at the same time, the prostitute, whenever the prostitute saw the Brahmin, she would think, oh, I'm so fallen, this Brahmin is so exalted, I wish I was like him, free from my contamination. So then, you know, years and years passed, and they both got older, and then naturally death came. So the Yamadutas came for the Brahmin, and the Brahmin said, no, no, not me, you should go to the prostitute. So the Yamaduta said, well, you created a bridge to the prostitute's consciousness to her activities by your consciousness. So now you have to go to hell. And the Vishnudutas came for the prostitute to take her to Vaikuntha because of her ardent desire to be pure. So then after the drama, you know, Gurudev usually talks about the dramas after the drama. So Gurudev said, don't think that this is just a drama. It really took place. So, can you tell us more about not accepting unqualified people as disciples? So Babaji replied, it's a fault to accept many disciples in order to gain wealth. If one is pure, he has no desire, then pure devotees accept millions of disciples. But to make many disciples, one must also accept those who have no Shraddha. But it's an offense to accept unfaithful people as disciples, because they're going to have so many troubles, and one who's not above the modes of nature will be dragged down by the troubles. Then he asks, what's the significance of giving up pretentious efforts in arranging festivals and so on? I remember about 12 years ago, Gurudev was saying, so you hold all these big festivals in ISKCON and you think, now we are successful. 5,000 people came. But that's not success at all. Success is when I weep, let's say it's a disappearance festival for Srila Prabhupada. He said the success is not if 5,000 people come. All the grandiose festival, that's for general people. But the real purpose is for you to weep. And if you're engaged in so much grandiose festival making, then the only time you might weep is when speaking about him. In that case, a tear may come and it may not come. Then Vijay asks, what about giving up studying teaching. Well, here we'll get the answer because we were wondering what kind of book it was. Vijay asks, what about giving up studying, teaching? These are all the prohibitive rules, prohibitions. Giving up studying, teaching, and interpreting various kinds of books. So Babaji Mahasaya said, the shastras are like an ocean. So it's good to study books on the subjects which we require to take instruction from. But we'll not get full knowledge on any book if we just read fragments here and there. Well, now I'll read a paragraph from this book. Tomorrow I'll read a page from that book. Especially intelligence related to our relationship with Krishna will not arise if he doesn't fix his mind in the study of Bhakti Shastra. Just like now, we're going chapter by chapter, practically conversation by conversation in Jiva Dharma. Then he also says, so it was talking about the Shastras. Then he says, make sure to only take the direct meaning of the Shastra. Indirect interpretation leads to the opposite conclusion. What's an example? For example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me, and worship me. Thus you'll come to me, I promise you this, because you're my very dear friend. So then, the Mayavadis make a book, like Dr. Radhakrishnan, which was the first Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada was using in his classes, because he didn't have his own yet. This was back in the late 60s. 66, actually 67, his first couple of years. And he interpreted it that it is not Krishna that you have to meditate on, that's not what Krishna means. But what Krishna really means is the unborn, colorless, odorless, impersonal within Krishna. Or another one interpreted the Battle of Kurukshetra, that Krishna really represents the doctor and Arjuna represents the patient and he's giving him some medical advice. Or the Battle of Kurukshetra represents, these are all the interpretations that Prabhupada was telling us about. The Battle of Kurukshetra represents the body and the five Pandavas represent the five senses and like that. Then Vijay Kumar asks, what does it mean to give up one's miserly behavior? Because I know I'm really a miser. So Babaji replied, one must collect suitable items for food and shelter, naturally, during our sojourn in life. There's difficulty if we fail to obtain these items, and if we obtain them and then lose them again, then there's also difficulty. Therefore, we should not be perturbed when miseries come. In other words, there's always going to be something that I didn't get that I wanted, and then there's always going to be something that I lose that I got that I wanted. So therefore, one should not, it's against the rules and regs, to be perturbed, when such miseries come. One should keep remembrance of the Lord within our minds. Now Vijay is asking the next natural question, well, how can one be saved from lamentation? and anger. So Babaji Mahasaya replies, if one's consciousness is full of sorrow and fear, anger, greed, then the manifestation of Krishna will never come in his heart. It's natural to feel sorrow and illusion if one is separated from friends or when obstacles prevent us from fulfilling our desires, but it's not proper to remain under the sway. That is, it'll come naturally. Oh, my best friend just died. My son just died. It's natural that something will come. But if I dwell on it and stay there, that's against the rules, and I'll lose my bhakti. And how will I get rid of the sorrow? Only by remembering Krishna. There's no other way. Now he's asking, please explain what does it mean in the 64 limbs of bhakti that one should not give anxiety to any living being? So Babaji Mahasaya explains, Krishna becomes very satisfied when one maintains a very compassionate mood to all living entities. It's stated in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Kapiladev that if one does not see the super soul in the heart of all beings and thus show mercy to them, seeing that Krishna's in their heart, this is likened to throwing grains into the ashes instead of into the fire at a fire sacrifice. In other words, don't think you're going to get any bhakti. If one sees the slightest distinction between himself and another person, and thinks, well, I have to think of myself first, not the other person. That's just like throwing grains into the ashes instead of the fire, in a fire sacrifice. And this is called, it has a name, it's called separatism. Because if everybody's part and parcel of Krishna, then what's the difference between one part and another? Why should I be interested in one part and not another? It's a hard one. Say that again? Right. It's not what? It's in the same family of thought, you're saying? Maharaj is just saying that one should not think that service to man is service to God. There's the Mayavadi philosophy of Jaridra Narayan, that's the one you're speaking about? Jaridra Narayan. Narayan has become poor and he's manifested as all these people. And all the people. So if I just open hospitals, and if I just open hospitals and feed people, that's service to God. So what's saying here about compassion is not that kind of service. It's compassion of giving Krishna consciousness and helping others in their Krishna consciousness and helping others materially for the pleasure of Krishna so that the person can engage in Krishna consciousness. In other words, suppose the Lavadis trips as she's going to the Jamuna, and she breaks her leg, and I say, well, I'm not going to help her because that's material. I'll only help her I'll help her to memorize the slope, but not if she breaks her leg. So one of the 26 qualifications of a devotee, Prabhupada was explaining, yes, help others if they need material help, to help them in their Krishna consciousness. But not to be like Bharat Maharaj, Jed Bharat. Does that cover it? No? You want to add anything? Yes?
Just a question about, you know, they said you help people, you're reconnected with their karma. Also, what about, doing, prasada distribution? Is that helping, in some way, get preaching for...
You're asking is about serving people Mahaprasada?
Yeah, is that...
So anything in relation to Krishna is a must. This is what the pillar is talking about. If you don't have that kind of compassion, in fact, he mentioned distributing Krishna prasada. But if you just offer to Krishna just for your own eating, this is separatism. So you offer to Krishna with devotion and then distribute it to the living entities, then Krishna is much more pleased. Service to mankind and all living entities to help everybody become Krishna conscious. Distributing books, distributing prasadam, distributing Harikatha, distributing CDs, pictures of Krishna, inviting people to the temple. So one should not give another living entity anxiety by his body, mind, or words. Even an ant, even a mosquito. Then he's asking, is there any question about that? It's stated in the Shastra that one who is atiti, one who is a guest, should be served like God. Oh, an uninvited guest has come to my house or has come to my temple, I should treat him as God. There's a story that it's of another religion, a Jewish religion or something. The priest went to complain to the low rabbi went to complain to the high rabbi that nobody comes to our, what do you call it? Synagogue or temple. So the high rabbi was empathizing, sympathizing. And he didn't give him any instruction how to get more people to stay, to come and then to stay at the temple. So then just as the lower rabbi was about to leave, the senior rabbi said, but do remember that the Messiah is among you, is among the rabbis in the temple. So they were thinking, well, it couldn't be that one because he's blah blah blah. Well, it couldn't be that one because he's blah blah blah. Well, gee, maybe it is him. You never know. If it's one of them, you never know who it's going to be, because the Messiah will be hidden in different ways. So they all started treating each other like the Messiah. And in a very short time, their temple was totally packed. They couldn't fit everybody. Get it? If you treat everybody with respect, people see that, then automatically people want to join such a wonderful situation. If not, then they'll shy away.
Yes.
takes off. Yeah. And there's another story. This is a story about somebody who was a bhakta for like 20 years. And somebody said, why don't you get initiated? And he said, well, I see the way you treat first-time guests and the way you treat devotees, so I think that's why I decided to remain a guest. So let's see what time it is. It's now 25 after 6. We have 5 minutes of questions. Or you could ask for 5 minutes of Gopiki. Which one should we do? Huh? Gopiki for 5 minutes? So now we've come up to the point where Gopiki is starting. The gopis have realized that just by calling for Krishna in the forest and looking for him and asking the trees and the deer, nobody's going to help us out. So we should go to the bank of the Jamuna, where there's no obstruction to our voice by trees, by mountains. We're just the wide open shore of Jamuna. And we'll sing weeping kirtan. And if that doesn't draw Krishna, nothing will. So Gurudev said they're teaching by their example that if you want Krishna to manifest in your heart, then you have to do weeping sankirtan. So then their song begins, Jayati Teyadikam Janmana Bhuja. Braj Vrindavan is more glorious than Swarga, heaven, more glorious than Vaikuntha even. Why? Because the goddess of fortune, Shrayati Indira, Indira means Lakshmi. It means wealth and it means the goddess of wealth. Shashvat Atrahi, the goddess of fortune, left Narayan, left Vaikuntha, at the birth of Krishna, since the birth of Krishna, and she's been sweeping here, and she's been decorating everywhere in Braj, in the kunjas, on Govardhan, by the lakes, by the rivers, in Kusham Sarovara, in Kamyavan, everywhere she's decorating and cleaning. Why else is Braj more glorious? Because the word Braj means that which moves around. So Krishna moves around here. He runs and he frolics, plays, he's engaged in so many sportive pastimes which you don't find in Vaikuntha because of all the Aishwarya there. Also, Jayati Te Adikam Janmana. Krishna takes birth here in Braj. Nobody takes birth in Vaikuntha. Everything is already very regal and king and queen and God. But the beautiful birth pastimes of Krishna, you won't find those sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. You won't find the beauty of all the scenery as you find in Vrindavan. The Jamuna River, Govardhan, you don't find any of that. And although there's only one goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha, but here in Braj there's millions of goddesses of fortune, the gopis. And there's no Rasalila. The Lord would never embrace and kiss and dance with the goddess of fortune because it's too much Dasyabhav. So in so many ways, Vrindavan is more glorious than Vrindavan, than Vaikuntha even. What to speak of heaven? There's no parents, no loving parents, no loving relationships like that, no loving friendship. When Gop Kumar went to Vaikuntha looking for Gopal, he saw Lord Narayan, he thought, Gopal! And he ran to him like that. And all the guards started stopping him. What are you doing? Don't you realize where you are? And he was in his cowherd dress.
That's God. You can't hug him.
What?
That's God. You can't hug him.
Right. Then another thing about grudge. See. The problem is that because the goddess of fortune is here, everybody's joyful because it's the goddess of fortune is here decorating, just like a menial servant. The only problem is that there's one group of people who are not happy, and that's us gopis. Why are we unhappy? Because we're feeling intolerable separation from you right now, because you're somewhere in the forest, and we're feeling unbearable heartache, and we're barely maintaining our lives, and the only reason we're able to maintain our lives and not die this second is because, for your sake, our lives are in you, and that's why we don't die. So actually, the goddess of fortune is not there in Vrindavan because she's not allowed to enter Vrindavan. She stays in Vailvan doing austerities, and still she's not allowed to enter. But the gopis are saying this just in a way to describe the beauty of Vrindavan. But really what they say is true. Even though they're speaking just in madness from their own emotions, still, and their own imagination, still, their mood is the absolute reality that we want to attain. And then they use the word tavaka. We're your gopis. Even though we're yours, somehow or other we're suffering like anything. We're about to die. So accepting the mood of separation, intense separation, the gopis of Radha's party, Radha Paksha, the left-wing gopis, they would never say, and they never have the thought that we're Krishna's. They always think Krishna is ours. He should be under our control. Whereas Chandravali and her group think we are Krishna's. So it's only in this intense separation that Radharani and her group could say we are yours. They never have any Aishwarya Bhav. And whenever they're, the only time there is Aishwarya Bhav, it's like if you have a gigantic vat of boiling milk, and you had a grain, or not a grain, a piece of straw on the bottom of the milk. And then when the milk starts swirling and boiling, then the straw comes to the top and then goes back to the bottom. So, in intense separation, and in joke, a little Aishwarya comes, but it immediately goes back to the bottom, and it's always mixed with Madhurya. For example, Nanda Baba, when Uddhav came to Vrindavan, he said, why are you crying? You know, Krishna's God. Oh, Krishna's God? You mean to say that I had God in my house, and because I didn't show him enough love, he left? That makes it even worse. Well, if he is God, then he should give us salvation or some other boon, because we're completely miserable. But he didn't believe it. So that was the little thing that came up and went down. Are you ready? And on that note, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sri Sachinandan Gaur Hari ki jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Sri Jayavadharma ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Sri Gopi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sri Sandhya Arati ki jai, Gopri Manandi Hari Hari Bhu.